Second down, Kansas City. They say 7 at the 37, so a good spot for the Chiefs, leading by 2. A little over a minute left, third quarter. Out of the shotgun, Mahomes in the pocket. He's going to scramble to the left side and gets by him at the defender, 35-yard line. Mahomes, stop and go run. Still on his feet, 15, 10, and inside the 5. The Tennessee Titans of 2019 are going, we've seen that before. He ain't going to go out of bounds. Mahomes runs for 33 yards. Stopping and going, hip dropping.
Everybody was thinking the same thing. Mitch said it there in his call. Everybody was thinking AFC title game 2019. He's not out of bounds yet. We were all thinking the same thing there. Another great run for Patrick Mahomes. Part of a big day for him on the ground. Also had the touchdown where he just bullied and bodied a defender for the Niners. I know we'll talk about that. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It's a Victory Monday here in KC. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Yeah, the runs yesterday, I mean, in particular, both, one brought back memories. The other was just incredible because it's the flat out, that same defender too, by the way, that early in the game was actually the one that looked like he was shot out of a cannon and was coming up and making some big hits himself. But for Patrick Mahomes to kind of level him right at the goal line was pretty special.
I know that he's like, I'm a little thick. I wasn't trying to run him over. I was just trying to get into the end zone, and he happened to be, I don't know, standing on the tracks, essentially, of that one. But yeah, those were both incredibly enjoyable. I'm sure we'll play some of those highlights as we get closer to it. But super funny to me that he ran over a guy, especially when you start seeing the photos coming out of training camp of what that guy looks like under normal circumstances. He looks like I could do 7 million push-ups a day for the next 10 years and not be in that kind of shape. So, yeah, it's funny that Patrick Mahomes ran him over. Plus, they're 6-0, so we're all feeling good.
Well, that's
this
thing, man. Like, yesterday's was another example of, like, hey, you know what? They find ways, even when there's injuries, to win football games. I mean, going in, we already knew the existing injuries, and the Niners had injuries as well. Both teams suffer more injuries during the game. It got to a point where the Chiefs were down to Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Sky Moore, and Mecole Hardman. And hell, at one point, because Worthy was out for a handful of plays, at one point it was Watson, Moore, and Hardman. Those were three. They only had three receivers available for like a drive. Then Worthy came back after he got popped pretty good. I mean, that's what's crazy, man. They've won 12 straight going back to last season, but they're 6-0, and now they are the last unbeaten because the Vikings lost a really close one, a great game between the Vikings and Lions. If you caught that before the Chiefs game, it was one of the best games of the entire day. But they have now given themselves some breathing room in the AFC, all while they're still trying to kind of figure this thing out offensively. And I know we'll talk defense here in a little bit, but offensively, man, it is truly a week-to-week in-game adjustment after an adjustment that has to happen right now for this offense. And Tom Brady, and I don't know what you thought of him on the broadcast. I thought he actually was fantastic yesterday. He acknowledged it. He's like, there's nobody better prepared. Nobody would rather have as your head coach with the current circumstance they have, which was right after Juju got hurt, by the way, and when they were down to three receivers and where Noah Gray and, you know, there was a stretch where they're rolling out three different running backs. Like, just the way they had to get through that game at times because of the issues that they had offensively, some heading in, some that happened in, like, that's what it's going to be offensively, I think, for much of this year, unless they go and add a wide receiver.
The fact that they lost Juju Smith-Schuster, they're like, oh, he'll be fine. We know he had a hamstring injury, and then on Friday, he had said, no, he'll be okay, so we stopped talking about it as a point in what they will do if they weren't in the game. They had four touchdown drives. I mean, they had to drive the field a number of times. This will probably surprise you. Brett Coleman, who does some advanced analytics on offensive numbers, the Chiefs' offense is such a mystery outside of this because they are fourth in EPA effectiveness, seventh in scoring drive percentage, so they score the seventh most in the NFL, fourth lowest punt percentage. Now, part of that is because of the turnovers and second fewest plays that gain no yards or go for a loss. So they're actually a relatively effective offense at times. But I mean, yesterday they lose Juju and they're down to the, and by the way, the leading wide receiver at the end of the day reflected that. Xavier Worthy had the most receiving yardage from a wide receiver at one catch for 19 yards. But what do they do instead? They found a run longer than that from Mecole Hardman. They found Justin Watson for a first down. They tried to get it to Sky Moore. It was useless, but they tried to get it to Sky Moore. What impresses me the most is you had mentioned that 12 games. I would say that this 12-game winning streak is not even created equal to others. These are the teams they have beaten during that time. San Francisco twice. that is a team that had one of the best records in the NFC and was in the Super Bowl last year. That's where they beat them. Baltimore twice. A team who has the second best record in the AFC and was in the AFC title game last year. Cincinnati twice. The Chargers twice. Buffalo, Miami, Atlanta, and New Orleans. Of those teams, only two didn't make, or three made the, didn't make the postseason last year. And two of them are currently in a playoff spot right now. So if you look back at where you are, you're like, I mean, that's a hell of a murderer's row. That's mostly what the best teams have been over the last 3 years in the NFL. And that's what their 12-game winning streak is. Now, part of that's because that's, you know, those are playoff teams for four of those games. But even outside of that, I mean, this has been a hell of a run.
No, it has. It has. And when you see the way they went about it yesterday, not just offensively, but that gets us in, you know, a little bit to where they have been as a defensive unit. And how many times have you and I this season already come on the show, sometimes after a victory, sometimes it's later in the week, but usually it's on a Monday. It's like, hey, this is how they have to win games right now.
Yeah.
And we say that like it's, oh my gosh, they had a squeak by. They won by 10 points, and it was a garbage time touchdown late from the 49ers. Like, this was, ended up, remind you, the Chiefs were underdogs heading in. It got up to 2.5 or 3 right before kickoff at some books. So they were 2.5, 3-point underdogs. Once again, Mahomes, the dog to Brock Purdy. Someone explain that one to me. It makes no sense whatsoever. Eventually, maybe they'll learn on this one. Like, the books make a lot of money. They're very smart. For whatever reason, when it comes to the Chiefs,
wrong, and the Chiefs,
and Patrick Mahomes, when they're a dog, it's a mistake. Time and they did in the postseason last year. They did it yesterday against Brock Purdy. But this team was an underdog, and they didn't just win, Cody. They went out and they won by double digits.
They were in firm control of the game the entire way. Like, that's what it really boils down to. They were up double digits before half, had the ball with a chance to go up 3 scores. Eventually, they let the 49ers get a field goal, but that was 14-6. Then nobody did anything for about a half of the third quarter because the Chiefs' defense is so great. And then after that, the Chiefs completely controlled the game the rest of the way once they found what they wanted to do on offense. There is part of me that is, like, the obvious, which is, if I had told you before the season that the Chiefs would be without Hollywood Brown, without Rashee Rice after a couple of weeks, without Isaiah Pacheco after a couple of weeks, that Patrick Mahomes would have more interceptions than they had wins, a million things, right? If I had told you all of those things existed, you'd have told me that they were 3-3, 4-2 if you were just like a wholehearted optimist. Like, borderline uncontrollable optimist, Gold, if I had told you they were missing all of those pieces and you were like, because if you had told me they were 6-0 and that happened, I'd be like, you're a liar. Why are you telling me this? Even you don't believe it. There's not a possible scenario in which that is viable. And yet, they are 6-0. They continue. And this was, like, I thought this was going to be the most impressive. Now, look, I think that gets negated a little bit because Ayuk left in the middle of the game with a torn ACL and Debo didn't really play. Now, I will say, this was kind of the great juxtaposition of what you talked about, how they win. These are two teams without their number one and number two wide receiver, without their number one running back, with some inefficiencies across the board, and one of those teams has been able to overcome that all year and just kick the ass of the other. And the other one lost a couple of players, and it felt like the whole train came off the tracks. So, like, the Chiefs are just better at overcoming those things than other teams.
And that goes back to the Tom Brady comment I was referencing. Yeah, I mean, when Tom Brady in the game is saying, like, no coach is better prepared. No, you would not want any other coach in the exact circumstance the Chiefs were in that game yesterday or this season, right, in terms of the issues. Every team's dealing with injuries. Kyle Shanahan, of course, dealing with injuries. I think it's nuts that in San Francisco there's people out there, and talking about fans, like, actually think that they need a new head coach. Like, that's insane, right? But that's where you're at. Kyle Shanahan has not been able to win. I mean, that kind of stuff is crazy. But, you know, he hasn't been able to win when they had these injuries. It's really hard to win the league anyway, and then you have injuries. And what makes it more impressive? The Chiefs just went on the road as underdogs with deficiencies and won by double digits. That's a very hard thing to do in the NFL when you're at full strength, Let alone when both teams have some injuries. But yeah, the Chiefs been able to battle through. And the biggest reason why is because we know, and it's even more, I think, fitting after seeing the Chiefs win, but also seeing Sunday Night Football with the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they won against the Jets. These teams, like, they both win. You should not take it as an insult. We've said it over and over. Like, the Chiefs and Steelers win in very similar fashion.
They do.
Great defense, can run the ball. The one difference is Patrick Mahomes can still have a run or two, and we'll talk about this in 20 minutes, that he can go out and just win a game by making a play or two with his feet as well, which we saw twice yesterday against the 49ers. But this defense, man, like Brock Purdy was bad yesterday. Flat out bad.
One of the worst starts of his
career,
probably.
I know he was missing pieces. He wasn't just bad because he's been bad all year. No, he's been really good this year. Really good. Why is he bad? Because Steve Spagnuolo, Mark, this is the quarterback, and they only play him, you know, the NFC, they don't play often, but they have because of the Super Bowl. Because of the Super Bowl, they played him more than normal. But that's his quarterback that he can shut down. Like Brady was saying during the broadcast that, you know, he basically can't stand Spags. He was joking, but I was just like, hey, this is the guy.
He said he's not his kryptonite. What did he call him? The bane of his existence.
There you go.
That was the phrase.
Yeah, and he's basically like, this guy just had my number. He knew how to kind of figure me out. That's what Brock Purdy's probably feeling like. Now, Spags has done this to a lot of quarterbacks because he's the best defensive coordinator in football. But yesterday, to me, just showed, like, Brock Purdy looked completely different yesterday than he had all year. And yes, he's been without McCaffrey already. He's had a game or two where he missed Debo. So they had injuries, but he's been shorthanded and still looked impressive. Not yesterday. The Chiefs shut down the run when it mattered most in the first. You look at the box score, you'll say, hey, they ran for 90-something yards, I think it was.
It's really not much for their standard.
And that's still high for what the Chiefs have given up, I think, at times.
It is.
But the yardage in the first half wasn't there, and that's when the game was really tight and competitive, more so than it was even in the second half. So I just thought Steve Spagnuolo and this Chiefs defense, who still has not allowed a 300-yard passer in 2024, were sensational. That's how this team wins. That is why they're going to be back in the Super Bowl.
You brought in a lot. I think you have to go back to the middle of last season to find the last person who went for 300 yards against him. Here's the stats, by the way. Jordan Mason, their leading back, went 14 carries for only 58 yards. Brock Purdy had to scramble 8 times for 27. That's way too much for him, even though he got 2 rushing touchdowns. Kyle Juszczyk had 1 carry for 14 yards, and Garrido came in for 1 snap, got 1 carry for 2 yards. That is an excellent job defensively on their run game. Look, they're a defensive team. We should just accept that. I know it sounds weird. It never sounds right. Even last year, I thought it was more of a 50-50 proposition. This is a team led by their defense and who wins games via their defense. The great news is for them, and then in crunch time, what we talked about with Mahomes still exists, but this is a defensive team. They haven't allowed 30 points since the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Not last season. They didn't allow a single 30-point game last season. Do you realize that they're statistically more likely to give up numbers in the teens than in the 20s this year? They're more likely to give up scores under 20 this season than they are to actually give up that number. So, like, this is the best defense in football. The run defense once again proved it. They have faced the single best rush offenses in the NFL. The 49ers, the Ravens, time in and time out, every single team, they're going to stop the run. And because these other quarterbacks haven't been able to make up the difference and just go, like, ham on them, like, I don't know, Josh Allen or something, they haven't been tested in that way. Purdy is definitely like, he probably hopes to never see the Chiefs again. But I would say that this is kind of across the board. When you start looking at like how long old it's been since someone got 300 yards. I do think Spags is the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. Maybe I'm victim of the moment. I don't know.
It's amazing what they've done. And George Karloftis, we were just talking about him last week and the numbers and all that. He stepped up huge in a couple plays in particular where they were double teaming him and he got through a double team. One, they just kind of whiffed, but like he still got through a double team. I thought the defensive line was sensational yesterday. And certainly Chris Jones didn't have the stats. We've talked about that.
I don't care about that. I can see
but
he
was disruptive, and that's a big reason why Karloftis had a big day yesterday for Kansas City.
I think he had the biggest play of the game where they were in the red zone and he hit Purdy as he...
Yes, that led to the Jaden Hicks interception. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely got a piece of that, or at least caused him to, you know, his arm to be a little off or whatever. The one concern I know we're going to talk about a little bit later, though, is now, okay, the big question... They've been great with next man up philosophy. They've been pretty healthy on defense. Is a big blow with Jalen Watson because we just discussed where the quarterbacks were last week. That, hey, you know what? Jalen Watson's been great. And, you know, they didn't have a clear guy coming out of camp. And that's okay. And how silly it seemed to be worried about that. And Jalen Watson is playing as good as Snead was last year, essentially, at times. And now we know Jalen Watson is probably going to be done for the season. We'll get official word maybe today. Andy's going to speak at noon, but there's multiple reports, including Zach Gelb over at the Infinity Sports Network. It used to be CBS Sports Network here with Odyssey. And he's reporting that a source telling him it's a broken ankle. for Jalen Watson. Andy Reid after the game said basically it's not good. They don't think it's going to be good news on an MRI. So that's a huge loss for this football team. And now it's Nazee Johnson, who was a little rough when he just was forced to fill in yesterday at that spot. Got called for a couple penalties, too. So we'll see. Josh Williams and Nazee Johnson are going to have to step up. We can have a deeper conversation about, is that a trade market for them? Typically, it hasn't been an area where they've gone and given up assets for. So that will be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks. But that's a tough one to overcome. I know we see all these other injuries on the team. We're like, hey, they've made it work. But we just got done saying the defense is why they're winning games. So when you lose your number two corner, that's a big deal.
Like when you start going through it, yeah, it is. And I know we're going to talk about where exactly that injury lands amongst the injuries they've already had this season. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, I just can't help but look at, I mean, how can you not tell me this is the league's best defense? These other teams have scored against other teams. Baltimore only got 20 against them. They're averaging a full touchdown more than that. Cincinnati probably got them for the best, 25 points. They're averaging 5 more points per game than that. Atlanta only got 17. The Chargers only got 10. The Saints only got 13. I mean, like at this point, we used to have these conversations to be like, hey, you better be ready to get to 30 points if you're going to beat Kansas City. That used to be the conversation here, Drew, before you could be like, hey, if you're not getting to 30, then don't even waste your time showing up to the building. But now it's, to me, it's like at this point, it's like if you can't get to 24, it's over. Not because the offense needs to get there, but if you can't get to 20, you're not getting to 24, right? Like that's not the number the Chiefs have been giving up. They haven't given up that amount all season. And that's what, the one time against Cincinnati. That's the number you're going to have to get to win. And that's been an almost impossible task. They are statistically over the last year and a half more likely to give up 10 than they are probably 24. No 30-point games, as we have previously pointed out, all the things that factor into this. When their defense is playing at this level, it puts so much pressure on your defense to stop the Chiefs from doing anything. I just mean anything. And they're still an efficient offense from the 20 to the 20. Like, they got problems. They got plenty of problems. Yeah. 20 to 20, they are a relatively efficient offense. They start screwing around and turning the ball over and having mistakes outside of that. But for the most part, they succeed inside of that range.
And the question will, once again, much like last year, will be by the time we get to week 15 and then ultimately the opening round, or hopefully it's divisional round because they get a first round bye. Hopefully it's a divisional round of the playoffs. Is the offense capable of elevating itself? Because it did. You know, I normally be like, oh, well, this is who they are. They can't play better in the postseason. We know that's possible because last year, suddenly the offensive line in the playoffs just played their best football. Does that happen again? Mahomes played his best football.
Kelce played his best.
And the defense, of course, continued to do what it was doing. The other biggest question will be what we all have up until November 5th, which is going to be the trade deadline. And do they go out and find somebody? And I know we discussed it a lot over the last few weeks, but seeing yesterday and then seeing Juju go down with the hamstring in game after it was a spasm on Thursday, then didn't come back, given his health history and everything like that, I don't know how they can't go out and add a wide receiver. Like, tell me how they just don't have to do that.
Tell me the justification.
I don't get it, man.
They're 6-0 on a back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion. Why wouldn't you, like, even if you're not even totally sure it makes a massive difference in your offense, isn't it worth the risk at this point? I looked it up last night because I saw the stat that said the Chiefs are only the second team to start 6-0 after being defending back-to-back Super Bowl champion. So this is the best start, right? This is the second best or tied for the best start.
The 90s 49ers.
The 1990 San Francisco 49ers. And before you're like, it's an insult because you know that they didn't eventually win the Super Bowl. That 1990 49ers team finished 14-2 and was the number two offense in the NFL and lost in the NFC championship game 15-13 of all freaking scores of all nonsense.
Who would that have been to?
Giants.
Okay.
So of all nonsense scores, they lost 15-13 in the NFC title game. But I mean, they were 14-2. So the Chiefs have already established what you wanted to know in the defense of the three-peat. That's the real question. Team wins back-to-back Super Bowls. Your question is, can they do it? And when they lost all these players, I had the same thought you did, which is like, I don't know, man. That's one of the things that stops three-peat championships from happening is everyone gets hurt and you just can't overcome it. And right now, 6 games into the season, they already have a 2-game lead on the AFC. A 2-game lead on their division with a chance to extend that, by the way. It'll be 2.5 games if the Chargers lose tonight to the Cardinals. They're a 1-point favorite. against the Cardinals on the road for Monday Night Football. I mean, it just feels like if you had any questions about if it was possible this year versus like they maybe tell the story that like, I don't think this is the year, they're the best team in football again. And they're doing it without all their stars.
And that's why we had to see guys step up. And yesterday, the big player stepped up other than Mecole Hardman, who we'll talk about later. He was great.
He was great.
Noah Gray would be the other player, though, that absolutely stood out and jumped out on the television screen if you're watching the game. He ended up having a career-high yardage, and it came in the first quarter. I mean, right away, he stepped. I mean, from the minute Juju went down, I mean, almost seemed like the next...
It was Noah Gray time.
It was Noah Gray. They were able to key in on him. Obviously, the Niners were able to keep Kelce in check, but they were like, all right, we're not going to let it be Kelce. So then who was going to step up? And the answer was Noah Gray and then Mecole Hardman. Obviously, they had some creative things drawn up for him, and he was sensational. But that might be, as we said, with the in-game adjustments week to week, it's going to have to be... You know, kind of an odd name, if you will, an unfamiliar name stepping up in a lot of ways, unless they go out and even, heck, even if they go get a wide receiver, because they're just really, really thin. I mean, they were down to three receivers at one point yesterday. Yeah, that's not sustainable.
Now, Xavier Worthy, thankfully, did come back out on the field.
He didn't have, I don't know if he had a catch after that, though.
No, the closest he got was the deep ball that Mahomes missed by a couple of yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Worthy was open on that one. And then the very next pass after that was the one that he slipped on. So they targeted him.
Yeah.
They definitely looked towards Xavier Worthy, but that didn't exactly go down that way. Right now, Noah Gray only has 60 less yards than Travis Kelce on the season. Now, that also speaks to the slow start for Travis Kelce.
Well, of course, that's exactly what it speaks to.
It speaks to some of that. Noah Gray, as of right now, as we sit today, not knowing the status of the hamstring of one Juju Smith-Schuster, Noah Gray is the second best receiving option on this team. Like it or not. And by the way, I'm not sure it's particularly close. I know you can make the argument for Xavier Worthy, but the consistency in which Noah Gray is getting the football and successful when he gets the football means I want them throwing the ball to Noah Gray more. Like, they should just have more tight ends on the field. Noah Gray's a better receiving option than Sky Moore, McCole, some of these other, Justin Watson, which I guess I kind of expected him to step up more than he has so far in place of these injuries. Did a better job of that last year. He hasn't been the same player. Like, he's been remarkably consistent this year. It's not big numbers. He's not putting up big, big, big stats. But he is there when they need him. And yesterday, they desperately needed him for a couple of quarters. And he was their leading receiver there for sure. He was their leading receiver in the game. 66 yards was their leading receiver.
Yeah, when teams are going to key in on Kelce, and I know Travis and someone texted in, and they're right. It's not normally how we talk about Travis Kelce, but you know the great thing at watching him is that he truly, it sounds cliche, but like truly is able to, willing to do anything they ask him to do.
To
so
win.
It'd be very easy right now if you're Travis Kelce for a guy that's been, you know, basically getting 1,000 yards almost every season to be frustrated with your numbers and production. He was blocking his ass off yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
We all know that deep down he can't be thrilled with his production this year, but he's doing whatever it takes to win right now for this football team. And yesterday, even when they were down multiple weapons, you would have thought, oh, well, Travis is going to have to take over the game. Well, no, if his role, if he's going to be effective at that, being, you know, a decoy and blocking, yeah, other guys have to step up. But that's why Noah Gray was able to have the day that he was having.
Yeah, because once Juju went down, there was no one left to guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just going to guard Travis Kelce and you figure it out. Like, the rest of that's on you because we're not going to stop you from doing it. It's just, it goes back to the same stats. Like, at some point, I'm like, can a team, like, do you know who this team's leading wide receiver is? It's still the guy who was hurt 2 weeks ago. Rashee Rice. I mean, he hadn't played. Two weeks. Such a head start. 2 weeks. He's still the leading receiver. They have played six full games. Right now, the leading receivers on this team are Rashee Rice at 288 yards, so not even quite 50 yards a game. And again, he hasn't played for two games. Travis Kelce at 245. The third leading receiver on this team is Xavier Worthy. At 33 yards per game, 198. They're going to finish the season with nobody getting a... Are they going to have a single... Like, here's a question.
This all sounds so familiar. Where have I...
It's crazy.
Where have I heard this exact conversation?
Did you hear this in the 2000 Patriots?
No. Well, I'm talking about last year. I mean, I feel like we were halfway through the season saying, man, you and I had a bet on this show last year. Man, is Justin Watson going to have the second most receiving yards for this team or not? I know it's not Justin Watson this year.
No, but it was a stretch there.
Yeah, but so this conversation... This is why I'm not as concerned. Like, last year we were having this very same conversation, like, man, it's not going to be impressive numbers-wise. It doesn't matter, dude. It doesn't. We could all acknowledge they need to go get someone else, but in terms of the fact that right now they might barely have a receiver at the end of the year that gets 920 yards or so, if the defense is going to play at this level and Patrick Mahomes is still capable of coming up with the big play when needed, and he had it twice yesterday, maybe three times actually yesterday, yeah, then it doesn't matter. In other cities, I would be panicking. No track record of winning, don't have the rings in your back pocket, don't have Patrick Mahomes, don't have Andy Reid who can turn Noah Gray or Mecole Hardman out of nowhere all of a sudden into the big play performer like he was yesterday. That's why I'm not worried.
It does make it easier. It's a little too easy to be a Chiefs fan.
They're 6-0, man.
They got so many problems and they're still 6-0. The 2-game lead on the AFC is the way bigger part of that, by the way. The fact that every other team has 2 in the loss column, we're talking about how important it is for this team to get the number one seed. Well, they got a massive head start on it. I mean, they're not rock solid. It's not a lock or anything. But a 2-game lead 6 games in is a hell of a head start. I'll say that. Especially when 2 of their next 4 games are like, they still have Cleveland and Carolina Raiders on the schedule.
That Cleveland
twice.
Game.
So I guess they're already at 10 wins. Oh, it got harder because James.
Cleveland game got a hell of a lot harder now that Deshaun's out for the season. That one actually might be a little more competitive.
It's not even Jameis either. Jameis was quarterback 3 yesterday.
Yeah, I just don't think they had him active because of the controversy with the my guess is Jameis eventually will be the starter for the Browns. But yeah, here he is
too.
Yesterday it was Dorian Thompson Robinson. Yeah,
DTR.
Yeah. He had that one good preseason. Everybody's all excited. The Browns got better yesterday. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson's injury and the reaction to that a little bit later on the show. We're just getting started here on a Victory Monday talking Chiefs and NFL throughout the entire show. Cody and Gold, you guys can interact with us, 913-586-7965. Up next, I want to key in on Patrick Mahomes specifically. I thought yesterday was the perfect example of why you can't just look at a box score, and we will talk more about Jalen Watson's injury that could have him out for the season. Just getting started on a Monday. Cody and Gold.
Sorry, I was telling Rob a joke right as you came on the air there.
Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. A reminder, it's a Monday, so at noon today, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. That's exclusively here during Cody and Gold, so we'll bring you that in about 90 minutes or so. I think yesterday, though, was another example, and we're all guilty of this. I think especially if you're not covering the team, if I were just to mention a performance yesterday from any NFL team and you weren't watching it either on Sunday Ticket or you were at least at the very least Red Zone or something, it's easy to just look at a box score and be like, man, that guy had an amazing day or that guy sucked. And that might be the case. Like, that may be true. Like, CJ Stroud was not good yesterday for the Texans. That's not just looking at the box score where he had 86 yards. If you watch the game, he was not good yesterday against the Packers, right?
Yep.
So when you take a look at Patrick Mahomes, I think if you were to pull out his stats, you would say, all right, he didn't have a good day, man. Like, yeah, 2 interceptions and didn't throw for 200 yards. And, you know, it wasn't a good day. I think yesterday was the prime example of why you shouldn't just look at a box score, because the run from Mahomes for 33 yards down the sideline, not out of bounds, reminiscent of the AFC title game. Then, of course, the touchdown run he had where he trucks a dude at the goal line. Those are plays that I don't give a damn what the stats are. I don't care that you pull up the MVP odds, and yes, somehow he is a favorite still, and you say, how is he that?
he's got 6 touchdowns. He's on pace for 17 touchdowns and 22 interceptions
right.
This year.
It is,
and a career low in yardage.
It's not a good statistical season for him. That's true. But anybody suggesting at all, I know you're not in Kansas City, but outside of Kansas City, anybody suggesting at all that he would still not be the first choice by a mile for you to have as your starting quarterback, you're not watching the games. You're just looking at a box score. Yesterday in particular, Cody, I just felt was the prime example. He went out and made winning plays. Yeah, the numbers weren't good, but he made winning plays, and his team is 6-0. We don't do QB win stats very often, win-loss record, but yesterday was a deal. If they would have like lost the game, maybe we feel differently. I don't know. I just, his performance, they won by 10 points and was really more than that. You know, the stats don't tell the story sometimes. That to me is, that's what I'm trying to say with his performance.
So some weeks, it's so funny because some weeks I do think you can explain it away, but I don't want to try to explain away the bad statistical season he's having overall, because I don't think he's thrown the deep pass well. I do think he's been a little too careless with the football, But yesterday's two interceptions were a ball batted down on the line pick, which usually I'm just like, whatever. I mean, they happen, but like Mahomes didn't make some ill-advised decision that led to an interception. And the other one, Xavier Worthy fell down. Whether he got shoved to the ground or felt whatever, his feet stopped being on the ground and instead his body was on there. People were getting caught up in the semantics yesterday, I think, on social.
Oh, boy.
He, like, well, he got put, whatever. I don't care. He was on the ground.
He lost his footing, however you want to phrase it.
I don't really care what you're. I don't want somebody, because the text line operates like Twitter, where it's going to be like, well, he didn't fall down. That I don't care. He was on the ground. Is that ball picked? If Xavier Worthy stays on his 2 feet, probably not. Xavier Worthy had inside leverage. He was underneath the man who made the interception when he made his break. By the time the ball got there, you would assume, maybe it's not complete, but I assume it's not intercepted. And so yesterday, while he finished with zero passing touchdowns and two interceptions, you could look at that stat and be like, I don't know, man. Once again, they moved the ball really well. There was a quarter when I thought Mahomes kind of shut down. I thought he looked bad from about the mid-second quarter or around half to about the mid-third quarter to the beginning of the fourth. That was the only time of the game where I thought, ugh, Mahomes doesn't look very good. The offense doesn't look very good, and they're not moving the ball. The other three quarters, I felt like the offense was effective, worked well, did a nice job. And so I can't just look at the stats yesterday and bury Mahomes. Yesterday was, once again, one of the better games of the season for him. The last two games are two of the better games he's played all year. In the early part of the season, that's where I thought the offense seemed completely out of whack. I actually kind of feel like they have a plan now.
They do, and again, that goes back to our earlier conversation in the first segment about Andy Reid, and nobody's better at just finding ways to get all these pieces. Because this is, again, why the stats can't just be the only story. Nuance is required, either watching the game yesterday or also recognizing that he was down to, for at least one drive, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Noah Gray, and Travis Kelce. That was who he was throwing the football to. At one point, that was who he had an option to throw the ball to. So that also has to be part of the conversation, that the guy that was his number one receiver heading into the year, Rashee Rice, is done. The what we thought would be the number two receiver hasn't played a snap all year for this team in Hollywood Brown. Like, other teams have injuries, but I'm just saying, like, there is so much more to the story that is required for why it has resulted statistically in this kind of season. But yesterday is why I kind of just laugh about the stats this year, because whether it's a playoff game or that you know that Patrick Mahomes, 99% of the time, is going to make the play that actually matters.
So the two winning plays, and there were more than two, but the two winning plays you're obviously describing were on the same drive. It is the 33-yard scramble in which Patrick Mahomes dekes a throw, dances on the sideline, very reminiscent of the Tennessee Titans run in the playoffs of his first Super Bowl run. And then, of course, the one-yard run in which he absolutely truck-sticked San Francisco defender Moo. I always want to say Mustafa. Be careful.
It was close.
It's definitely not Mufasa.
Although he pretty much was like Scar to Mufasa in that moment, just sending him to his inevitable death. But Mustafa, who's standing there in the goal line getting absolutely run over, those two plays are why you love Mahomes. Now, I will say, I was surprised. Did you see how many San Francisco 49ers fans were complaining that they need to make that play illegal, like the Kenny Pickett slide, because it's forcing the defender into a no-win situation, as in, if they hit him, it's a 15-yard penalty, but if they don't, those aren't the same at all.
You can still shove him a little bit.
Yeah, no one's forcing you to not push him out of bounds.
Yeah, maybe you can't. You're right. Maybe near the sideline, you feel like you can't go full steam ahead and tackle the guy because of that. I think that's maybe a fair, makes it tough for a defender. But yeah, you can still put your hands on him. Nobody touched him around the sideline. That's just loser talk is all that is from Niners fans. I haven't seen that, if that's really what they're saying.
Oh, it is. Yeah, very much so.
That's loser talk if that's the case. And also, even if you want to have that discussion, any of the great quarterbacks in this league have found one way to get a leg up within the current rules of the game. So that's stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't care if it's this slant always works. It's like the guy who's playing. If it's working at the NFL level, people aren't going to stop doing it. But
the tush push is a whole different conversation, because that play is just not fun to watch. I told you, like, with the Eagles last year, there's a lot of people. The NFL looked at banning that play. They decided not to.
But
it's an NFL play, so they're going to keep on doing it. It's not banned, so I don't think that run from Mahomes is a hell of a lot more entertaining than a tush push, I'll tell you that.
Sure, but taking out entertainment aside, both of those plays are legal. Mm-hmm. And if they work, why wouldn't you do them? I am so glad he ran over Mustafa on that play because I, as that play was being snapped, it's not revisionist history because he scored the touchdown. So it would make less sense if I complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
Them shotgun snapping from the half yard line once. I want to pull my hair out.
Every team
shotgun snap from the half
yard line.
Happens
every week, man.
Carson Wentz was in the game earlier. Just let him sneak
in. No, I got excited when I saw, by the way, I'll admit, I got excited when I saw Carson Wentz come in near the goal line. You're like, why are you excited to take Patrick Mahomes off the field? The reason why I was excited, I now have at least a little bit of hope that Andy Reid is willing to do what we and others have said for years since the Denver knee injury game, which is just put in the backup, in this case, Carson Wentz, and let him maybe do the QB sneak because we know, I get it, whatever, you won't do it with Patrick Mahomes. And I said, wow, they were willing to put Carson Wentz in that weird play. Maybe, just maybe, there's another wrinkle later. Either an actual QB sneak, a fake QB sneak, something different. Normally, I obviously don't want to take 15 off the field. But man, there's plenty of times where we see QB sneaks are very successful plays. We know they won't do it with Mahomes. So I have now renewed hope that Carson Wentz might actually come playoff time, get in a game on a crucial goal line situation, and they maybe, just maybe, will let him go QB sneak.
Like Mahomes, it is so funny. And I don't know at what point in of his career that he won't be able to use his legs the way he's able to use them now. The whole, he's one step faster than everybody who's chasing him. And it doesn't matter if that guy's got 4.3 speed. And he's also stronger than anyone apparently trying to tackle him. I mean, we mentioned earlier, if you look at the way Mustafa is built.
Yeah, the guy is jacked. He also
Mahomes
was
ran him over
earlier in the game, just leveling guys, playing incredible. That time Mahomes, you know, what it called leverage, obviously was a huge part of that.
Like his feet were kind of under him.
It was leverage.
He was leaning back a little bit. I think as Mahomes said, I'm a little thicker.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the dad bod won that one, though. The dad bod definitely won that one over the guy that, you know, is absolutely ripped. So good for Mahomes.
I just, you know, maybe we can have a later conversation later this week of like, how would you grade Patrick Mahomes' season so far? But yesterday's kind of the embodiment of it. Do I think Patrick Mahomes has played perfect football this season? No. Am I down on the way Patrick Mahomes plays football as a whole as it relates to this team's ability to win? Also, no.
Right.
Like, they obviously are not being held back by Patrick Mahomes.
If there was one thing out of the game yesterday, though, that I think could have some lasting ramification to bring up at least a conversation of, hey, what do you do? But also, can they still play at this level? That would be the Jalen Watson news. It's not official from the team, but as I said, multiple reports now that Jalen Watson broke his ankle, likely done for the year, although Ian Rapoport left the window open a little bit. The team, and Andy's going to speak at noon. I don't even know if Andy will tell us it's a broken ankle yet or not.
Guys are just getting in. Yeah, haven't talked to Jalen yet.
It might be that.
I'll get that news to you
He's
later.
Getting some imaging done this morning. I haven't talked to him yet kind of thing. We might get that, but we know how this usually works. There's way too many reputable national people reporting that it's a broken ankle for it not to be a broken ankle. So that's a huge loss.
At least that being the fear that it is.
Sure. You know, it's a big, big loss for this team that has really solidified the number two quarterback spot after the questions in camp. Jalen Watson took a stranglehold of that job. He's been fantastic all year. So to lose him is a huge deal. I mean, Nazi Johnson / Josh Williams are going to have to step up. And naturally, it'll get fans asking about the trade market. Who could be available? That is, even more than wide receiver, dude, that's a position where they really have not gone and traded assets or given the big contract to. And so that's why I'm skeptical. I know Zach Gill over at the Infinity Sports Network threw out a name that almost, I know he doesn't know the backstory, and I'm not saying he's wrong because he had Patrick Peterson on his show recently. I saw him throw out that name as someone because he's a free agent. And I was like, is this 2018 again? I mean, that was a name we were all saying they should get from the Cardinals.
5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Are we really doing? He's on the street right now. And I know the other guys they pulled off the street have worked out. But if that is that really where we're going with this? I don't know. I just was stunned to see that name get brought up, at least from one national radio host. I think they'll look at bringing some more depth at minimum. I don't know if they'll trade for someone, but they're going to have some more depth if Jalen Watson's out for the year.
So I've been wrong before. I can be wrong again. Feel free to throw this in my face. Later on, they'll be fine. This is a nothing injury. And you're like, but how?
A nothing
injury. It's their starting cornerback. I don't care. I told you that after the way this season started after five games, I will never again in my life fall for the trap that this team can't recover from a missing corner under any circumstances. They weren't even sure themselves Jalen Watson was the dude up until week two of the regular season when they finally started giving him more starter snaps. They'll be fine with Joshua Williams or Nazi Johnson. It doesn't really matter which of those two guys go in there. I feel bad for Jalen Watson. He's a very good player. The person who steps up in his place will also be a very good player. You will see no drop off in the defense's ability. That's why I mean, you'll see no drop off in the defense's ability to stop teams or stop wide receivers. I have far too much evidence to support that versus the other, which is this is actually going to set them back.
Yeah, me bringing this up, do I think they can't win the Super Bowl now? No,
because
we've covered that. I think the concern would just be like, all right, what level, if any, of a drop off is there? You're saying you don't think there'll be any.
Zero.
I think that to me is a very, very optimistic way to look at Nazi Johnson. And Josh Williams. I think the reason why I can't call you crazy for that at all is because Steve Spagnuolo exists and he's this team's defensive coordinator, and Dave Merritt exists and he's this team's secondary coach, and they have time and time again gone out there and continue to progress and
strong
develop guys.
Line.
And so I'm with you. I think Jalen Watson, though, is a better football player than Nazi Johnson or Josh Williams. I mean, we agree with that.
I think there's zero difference in the defensive level they'll play at.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's still discrediting Jalen Watson a little bit. I want to see, as the season goes on, yes, for the immediate, like next week against the Raiders, not going to be a problem, okay? Who's their number one receiver these days in Las Vegas? I legit don't know. Oh, Jacoby Myers. They don't have Devontae Adams anymore. Jacoby Myers is their number one receiver. Brock Bowers, the tight end, is a bigger problem, but we all know this story. Let him get his 95 yards. Doesn't really matter.
10 for 95 this last week.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. I would be curious to see, though, if they were to look in the free agent market or trade market to see some depth. Because, I mean, they are thinner naturally at corner.
Yes.
That would be where, but they don't need to go out and trade for like a legit number one, number two corner suddenly. That'd be stupid.
No, because Trent McDuffie makes all of that stuff so much easier. That's the part that we always have to keep in mind. He eliminates half the field. You can roll coverage to the other side of the field. They have really good safety play. Leo Chanel was again.
Chanel was great
again yesterday. Like they can cover it. That's a position where they can absorb it. On the defensive line, absolutely not. Anywhere on offense anymore, I start to feel like absolutely not because of the sheer number of people they've lost. But I don't know. They just won a game by 10 in which they lost the other wide receiver for at least the entire game. So at least there's some part of it where I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like I know that there's a breaking point. I know we've talked about where like there's a certain amount of water the canoe can take on before it eventually tips. But on defense, specifically at the cornerback position, there's been no position they've been better at covering any amount of loss, whether it be off season or in season, than that particular spot. They want to go after some veteran? Okay. I think the text line's crazy for bringing up Marcus Peters like 10 times today. They don't talk about not that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was doing all kinds of stuff. Kareem Hunt was like, he minded his business in the building. Does that make sense? Like, he got in trouble off the field.
Inside the
building, Marcus Peters was problematic for a number of Chiefs.
Yeah, that gets into the weird conversation of like everybody's playing moral high ground stuff.
Too.
Like, off field, in the building, what actually is worse, but we're talking about football.
I'm just talking about based on Andy Reid's desire to have them back. More so than like moral superiority of where you were getting in trouble. I'm just saying Andy wants a no distraction in building, everyone working on the same page. Peters worked against that sometimes. He was harder to deal with in the building, right? In the building is where Andy Reid cares. Honest to God, I don't think Andy Reid cares about off the field at all, period. I think if it were his choice, those things wouldn't even matter. He would like be allowed to have like the severance switch. But if Andy Reid had a choice, he would choose to be severed from the work life, from the real life. And the only thing Andy Reid ever knew about was football and choosing football players inside his building, and severed off of the rest of his life would be things that happened off the field regarding players, whether, and he would just live his life in that way. That's why I was saying Marcus Peters might be a tougher sell if you're Andy Reid. That's all. I don't know if you've seen Severance or if that reference makes any sense to you, Gold.
I have not seen it, but I it's pretty obvious what you're trying to say. I can picture it. I can definitely picture that. We'll see, obviously, the next couple of weeks. I mean, just based off of who's testing the secondary, I just mentioned the Raiders. you start looking at their schedule, then it's the Bucks. I think that'll be the game, Cody, perhaps where we'll notice if there's the real drop-off when you're going up against a Mike Evans and a Chris Godwin. This is a team we all know has done great against number one receivers. Part of that is, number one, McDuffie. He's still around. That's the biggest thing. But also, to do that, that means Jalen Watson also is playing at a high level. So in 2 weeks, when they play the Bucks back here in Kansas City on Monday Night Football, and it's Godwin and it's Evans.
Probably the best
and
two receivers they've faced.
Basically, to me, they got 2 weeks. They got a week and a half to get Josh Williams or Nazi Johnson play elevated, because Nazi Johnson admittedly was thrown in a tough spot all of a sudden yesterday. The few snaps he was at as far primary corner,
he got picked on deep on one.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. Let's be real about it. Well, we'll see. I trust the coaching staff. But I think we'll get our answers on that, both in the Bucks game, which is what, the day before the trade deadline. So, I mean, if they go out in the Bucks and their secondary gets torched out of nowhere for the first time all year, maybe that causes them to go think otherwise about trading or not trading for somebody in particular. Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll talk about Kareem Hunt a little bit more, because he continues. He's on a 3-game stretch right now that is pretty remarkable, considering that he also was a free agent off the street where things are at. We'll also talk about Deshaun Watson and his injury. But last night, Sunday Night Football, Jets, Steelers, ended up being a blowout in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I must say, there's a balance here, but Mike Tomlin deserves some credit. I think everybody on this show and a lot of people nationally said, hey, what the hell are you doing by taking out Justin Fields, who's been winning games for you? Like, honestly, like, what are you doing? That was something we said. Yeah. So he deserves credit because he starts Russell Wilson. They win. They have their best offensive performance, I believe, of the season. They definitely had some deep threat passing they haven't had. That is all true, and Mike Tomlin deserves credit for that. I also think, at the same time, let's not act like Russell Wilson was just throwing dimes the entire night. There was a lot of, like, you and I, when we were, you know, 12 years old, playing 500 or jackpot in the backyard, just throw it up and hope you make a play kind of stuff. And George Pickens had some great catches yesterday. There were some that were off the back shoulder of defenders and Pickens was catching. So a win's a win. Russell Wilson deserves credit for his performance, but let's not act like Russell Wilson now is back to being top 10 Russell Wilson because of last night's performance against a Jets team that is an absolute joke.
We just talked about box score. If you looked at Russell Wilson's box score versus Patrick Mahomes, you'd be like, well, Russell Wilson was the better quarterback yesterday. He did not make a single decent throw for like a whole half of football yesterday.
Much better in the second half.
Not, I mean, just like all bad. Like just nowhere near defenders, looked uncomfortable, rushed out of pockets, all those things. It's fine. I mean, I'll give Tomlin credit down the road if it doesn't deter them from winning more games. I'm not going to do it after one. Tomlin has won with a lot of different quarterbacks over the years. He's continued to do that. Still made no sense to me why you would switch quarterbacks. And yeah, to the point that Collinsworth was like, I mean, he sounded, oh man. Oh, did you see that throw from us?
Unlimited diarrhea.
Collinsworth could not have been more excited about the deep balls from Russell Wilson's. And again, some of them hit defenders before they went in the receiver's hands. That's not that cool. It's not that impressive of a throw. George Pickens might be the best contested catch guy in the entire NFL.
He was great last night.
But like, I don't know. Let me see a game or two more of Russ. I knew what they had in Justin Fields, and I saw how they were winning with Justin Fields. Let me get a couple games in with Russ before
on
I start
the flip side,
giving the pat on the back.
On the flip side, the Jets. What's next? Like, honestly, like, what? Who's left?
Might be cooked.
Their next thing, they'll cut the kicker today. Greg Zuerlein will get cut because of the block kicks.
He stinks, man.
He's been awful.
Really
so they'll
bad.
Cut him. That'll be their next excuse. I mean, there's honestly nothing else left after cutting the kicker. They're done.
Yeah, they're done. They got the Patriots this week.
They do get Hassan Reddick back too.
Good chance.
Officially.
So that's their savior now.
I'm just saying.
They play the Jets. Or they play the
first
the...
it was, let's fire Robert Saleh. It's his fault. All right, let's demote Nathaniel Hackett. It's his fault. Well, it's Mike Williams' fault. Let's go trade for Davante Adams. Oh, now it's Greg Zuerlein's fault. Who's next?
Mike Williams played yesterday.
Maybe it is a certain player that you sold your soul to is not playing good football because he's kind of old. Maybe. Just maybe that's what it is.
I think that's probably it.
I think the defense also is not as good as they have been. And I don't know if it's a solid thing or not, but if you look at their roster, you're like, they have
a lot of talent.
10, 15 Pro Bowlers almost on the roster. Sauce Gardner, Hassan Reddick, Quinnen Williams, Breece Hall, Alan Lazard is having a ridiculously good year. Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson.
And two interceptions from Aaron Rodgers in that game. One was a pick six, or one was down at the one, basically a pick six.
I will say this: if the Chiefs have the best defense, the Steelers might have the second best defense. They have
they're the same team.
As we've said over and over the last 3 weeks, they are basically the same team. Obviously, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes than Russell Wilson, but they are the same team.
The incredibly well, insane.
They incredibly well coached. Great defensive play.
Mm-hmm.
Run it before they throw it. You know, opportunistic, all those things.
Up next, thinking of running the football, let's talk about Kareem Hunt and what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. And we will discuss the AFC North, the key injury there in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, and more so the reaction with the fans as he was hurt.